This is The Producers with Ryan Drain, a podcast designed for radio imaging, commercial production, all things audio. Feedback is encouraged at ryanontheradio.com.
All right, here we go. Episode 26, I believe. Of course, I start this off yet again, and I didn't check. I'm clicking as I speak so I can be accurate. Yes, episode 26. Sorry, it took me an extra few days. This time, not quite as much my fault. I was sort of ready to go, but I was just waiting on some audio and some extras and whatnot. No big deal. I'm sure nobody would have sat there July 4th listening to the podcast instead of barbecuing, enjoying the sunlight, lighting their house on fire, etc. That's what we do in America, at least, for those listening in other parts of the world. We celebrate the country's birthday by lighting each other on fire. I wish I was kidding. I literally heard three separate stories when I came to work on Tuesday about friends of friends getting lit on fire, all three of which had to go to the hospital because America had a birthday. Okay. Anyway, thanks for tuning in again. Jake Kaplan is the guest. That interview is coming up in moments. It ended up being pretty good. I cut it up into two parts as usual. Well, not all the time. Sometimes it's one part. But we're going to kick it off here in just a minute with amp radio audio. You'll hear some of Jake's VO in that. This is more of a production sample from amp radio in Los Angeles, California, USA. That's how we'll kick it off. And part two will start with KROQ audio, which he produced back in the day. Anyway, I decided to use just one long promo. One long promo, ironically called Weenie Roast. Anywho, I really like it, and I figure instead of chopping up and using bits of a few different K-Rock promos, I would just use that one. You can hear it in its entirety. And then also you'll hear more KROQ promo material from Jake on the website show notes page. And then again, I'll round out part two with his VO demo. I think I really just put the whole thing on. You're going to hear mix stuff, mostly radio imaging VO from him, and really quality stuff. So you'll hear that Jake is a pretty talented dude. And a couple notes to talk about at the end. I get these like kind of specials and these bonus offers and everything sent to me, which I just turn around and send to you. But I do want to lead off by saying that I officially have a sponsor now. It's an official sponsor, even though I've been buddies with these guys for quite a while. My good friends at AV Deli, including the one and only Joe Kelly, are the official sponsor of the Producers Podcast. So you can see their banner, the fun little banner on the website, on the main page there, and on this episode, I think. Anyway, just thanks to those guys. They do really good work over there. Cash services, barter services, they have an online service. A bunch of different formats and just tons of noises that you get when you sign up with them. And good people. So anyway, AV Deli. There you go. AVDeli.com. We dive in now. Jake Kaplan standing by for the interview for today. But first, here is Amp Radio Los Angeles.
All week on Amp Radio.
What's up, baby babies? We are LMFAO. And this is 97.1
Amp Radio.
I feel like
win tickets to LMFAO show.
Saturday, November 7th at the Wiltern.
Tickets on sale Saturday at 10 a.m.
at livenation.com.
Listen all day, listen all night. Let's get it popping. I'm on Amp Trip.
When you win, you qualify to take
of LMFAO for AmpRadio.com.
We'll give you a camera and photo pass.
Keep listening to win.
LA's new hit music channel.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Thanks to Interscope Records.
Amp.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Live in LA.
Put your hands in the air. Good morning, Cali.
Amp in air.
First Southern California appearance in 5 years, and Amp Radio is getting you in. Listen all week to win tickets to his show
with B.O.B.
and a copy of the number one album in the country,
Recovery. CDs courtesy of Shady Aftermath Interscope.
Hey yo, this is Eminem, right here, right now.
Keep listening to win. Amp Radio.
97.1 Amp Radio.
Keep listening to Amp Radio to win tickets and attend the red carpet world premiere of The Twilight Saga, Eclipse.
I'm here to warn you.
Just leave.
has a right to know.
At the Nokia Theater next Thursday. See all the stars and see the movie before anyone else.
I'm gonna fight for you until your heart stops beating.
More info and all things Twilight, ampradio.com.
All right. And here is Mr. Jacob Kaplan. Hey, Jake.
Yo, yo.
All right, Jake is sitting in the wondrous studios of Amp Radio and KROQ. Is that in Burbank? Am I correct?
No, actually, we're basically right by Culver City, in West LA.
Okay,
yeah, right off the 10 freeway, in a dumpy little building. That's what the and Jackson is building too.
Did the K-Rock move in the last 20 years?
Yeah, K-Rock was. First K-Rock was in Pasadena, and then it was in Burbank forever.
Okay.
And then I think it was 2003, K-Rock was moved into this building with K-Earth.
Okay.
And then when Kevin started programming 93.1 Arrow, they moved K-Earth to a different building and moved Arrow into this building.
Is Arrow like the AAA? Am I remembering that
right? Well, Arrow was a classic rock station, but now Arrow's Jack.
Oh, now Arrow's Jack. Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, Jake Kaplan, the guest, as everybody can probably see from the readout on their little podcast deal here, and you are over there, like I said, at Amp Radio. You also, now, before we get too far into anything, your current job responsibilities are?
Primarily, yeah, pretty much Amp. That's really what I do all the time now, yeah.
You are, so at some point in time, you were doing K-Rock, or you were helping with K-Rock, or how was that working?
Well, I first started here doing Jack and a little bit of K-Rock, and then I got moved over to K-Rock full-time, and then Amp full-time.
Okay, cool. You were pretty much, were involved in the launch of Amp, and also you were involved in the launch of Now in New York, right?
Yes, true. Yeah.
Let's go through your background real quick, kind of, you know, where were you born? Where did you start out in this business? You know, kind of when did you know this is what you were going to do for your livelihood and that kind of thing?
Okay, I don't want people to be tuning out of the podcast, but
give me the short version. Then.
let's see. Well, I was actually, people always are surprised by this. I was born in South Carolina.
Okay, I am surprised.
Yeah, my dad was in the military.
The thick accent should have given it away, but it doesn't. Okay.
I was just born there, and my whole family's from Seattle. The way I started in radio was I was 14, and my school had this thing called Shadow Day.
Okay.
And I went and shadowed Bob Case, and I always wanted to be a DJ. Always loved music, so I started doing like an internship and at the station. And these were the days before, you know, you could get in trouble for having somebody come in and work for free.
Mm-hmm.
The way I got into production was they actually had Pro Tools. It was Cube, the station I first worked at, and they actually used Pro Tools for production before like any other radio station used it. And it was on a Mac. And I knew how to use the Mac from school, and I was just so fascinated by the production. And the production guys were like really cool, and they let me play around with the Pro Tools system, and I'd watch them, and I started producing stuff, and then I got into commercial production, and then back into imaging, and that's when I really started to really pump out a lot of stuff. It was cool because I was like in high school, and it was, you know, the big Cube was like the big cool CHR station in that market.
Yeah, that's actually one little thing I'm a bit jealous of, is the guys that kind of started young and got to work on the station they really liked, you know, that was actually, you know, and
yeah,
instead of the local jazz station or something where your friends would be like, oh yeah, you're awesome, dude.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, so that, yeah, that works.
No, we were playing, you know, all the Biggie and the Puffy, and you know, the R&B was pretty popular back then. And yeah.
And so at what point did you get on to LA then?
No, then I went to, then the End and KISW hired me away from that station. That was their competition to do imaging for, I was the imaging director for the End and KISW, you know, which was really cool because, I mean, those two stations I also grew up listening to.
The End in Seattle?
Yeah.
The one on The Real World?
Yeah, yeah. But that was long after the real world when I worked there.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was Jude Corbett. I think I was talking to that was the voice on that station.
Yeah, Jude was the voice.
Yeah. Okay. I asked him about the real world too. He told me to go take a hike.
Yeah.
No, not really.
I was funny. It was weird watching the show. Like I was working there, and then MTV had a weekend of Real World, and I remember watching it. Like, oh my god, look, yeah, it's so weird to see these people.
So then, are you on your way to LA at this point, or where are we going now?
No, I went to Lisa Warden. Was the PD at WHFS in DC.
Okay.
And she hired me as the imaging director there. So I moved all the way across the country. That was my first big move.
Yeah.
I was 23 at the time, and I moved to DC. And I was the imaging director there for a year. You know, got to image the HF Festival, which was, you know, like 60,000 people, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then one day I walked into work and they told me they're flipping the station to Spanish.
That was it then, huh?
Yeah, that was it. and then I was going to move to New York. I was going to work at Sirius when that flip happened. And I was on my way to move there. And then Kevin called me about moving to LA, working for Jack and K-Rock. And, you know, right. Obviously I obviously had to make the move to LA.
I was going to say, I don't know if it's physically possible to turn down that job.
Yeah, no, I was like, because I actually was always my dream to live in New York. And I didn't even really have a lot of interest in living in LA. And, but you know, I couldn't say no to that opportunity. So
that's pretty solid though. Yeah. I mean, you know, to get that gig at such a young age, and, you've been there since. I don't mm-hmm. actually know how old you are, or you can ballpark it. I don't know if you care about telling people how old you are.
I just turned 30, so.
Okay. Yeah. I thought you were about 30. Yeah. So you've been there about 6 years. Whose shoes did you fill at that point?
Well, there was an imaging director for Aero, and when they flipped it to Jack, that's when they had an opening. So I filled his shoes.
And so who was doing K-Rock at that time?
Well, let's see. Well, it was kind of in transition. Mike Crank.
So he was already there.
Yeah. Oh, Mike Crank's been here. For a long time.
Because I know Mike Crank from Denver. I was a punk kid. Well, I wasn't that young, but I was in college, and I would listen to The Peak in Denver, and he did that.
Uh huh.
And it was awesome. He's awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Mike's great.
So he was already there then. Okay. And so you guys kind of work on a team at this point.
Yeah. And and Trevor Shand was just being hired.
Okay.
And then Will Morgan was doing some freelance stuff for the station.
Okay, then. So Will was still doing actual. Are you still using him as a voice on K-Rock there?
Yeah, we still have him as our voice guy. Yeah,
that's what I thought. But he is he really producing anything for K-Rock anymore?
No, he hasn't produced stuff for us for a long time. Yeah, I mean, the truth is, when I got here, I was really mostly focused on Jack. Because, you know, Jack was a brand new station.
That would have been like one of the second or third Jacks in the country. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
I'm trying to remember if Jack...
I think it was like the third. I think it was the third. I think there's one in Denver and then Dallas and then LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, Jack like was on in like almost every market, I think. I mean...
It's kind of one of those bizarre things in radio. It's one of those formats that just sort of happens and then it's like you blink and overnight it's everywhere mm-hmm. and then... You know, they kind of find out real fast where it's successful and then a lot of places where it wasn't.
Yeah, but, yeah.
It's like, I know Dallas, it's pretty successful.
Yeah.
It does pretty well here. LA, it seems to do pretty well.
You know, it really has to be programmed to that market. You know, it's really...
Yeah.
I've heard, it's funny because a lot of listeners, especially, which is good, they have the perception, oh, yeah, you know, that must be, there's nobody that works there. And, you know, it's just... this random computer playing music, you know, and it's like, you know, that really is not the case, you know.
Let's get into some Amp Radio talk now. Our young friend Gavin, he's in Utah. Have you emailed with him or anything?
Yeah, he hits me up on Facebook.
We
chat every once in a while.
He's like I think he's 9.
Yeah.
And he is one of the most energetic radio imaging guys that you'll meet.
Totally.
Yeah, he is actually, I believe he's 6. It might be 6 and a half now.
Yeah.
But he was interested to know, and I'll just read what he says. Big fan of Amp Radio, and I was interested in finding out how Jake approaches building a brand for Amp that is hip and different, especially, you know, what with competing with Kiss. Let's start there. you know, you were instrumental in launching the Amp brand there in LA. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some ideas on some of the things that you guys did to specifically, you know, create that brand?
Well, you know, I think you have to approach this with any station, and especially a CHR. You know, you got to kind of look at, you know, what you are and what your market is and what the kind of music you're going to be playing. And, you know, there's a lot of factors. There's also people meter, you know, and you got to approach any radio station with, you know, what do you think, what sounds good to you? What works, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I mean, every time I've been in that situation, you know, especially before, you know, the boss comes in and this person has ideas, you got to really take that opportunity and just create something that you think is cool and what you think works, you know? And then from there, things will change and there's different, everybody's got their opinions, but you know, every time I've had that opportunity to create a new station, you know, I've really, you know, listened to the other stations and did something that I thought sounded right. Mm-hmm. You know, with Amp, you know, yeah, you know, I mean, I grew, you know, that's the kind of music I really like. So, you know, I just went through all the music and positioned something that I'd listen to as a listener, something that I thought was cool. And, you know, kind of took it from there and then took everybody else's opinions and, you know, brought in people that, you know, you got to bring in people that are fans of the music just like you and see what they think of stuff. You know, it's like, does this make any sense to you? You know?
Did when you guys were sort of getting this going, how much time did you spend on really, you know, before you even put a hand to the mouse, mm-hmm. you know, to start producing something, how much time did you spend thinking about it? And how much time did you go through a lot of voices? How much is your voice on there? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, I probably thought about it for years, you know.
Okay.
I mean,
it was
always kind of my dream to do something like Amp, you know.
It makes sense. So kind of in the back of your head as a radio geek growing up, you always thought it'd be awesome to launch a CHR in LA. I mean, honestly, that
pretty much
sounds,
kind of the ultimate of anything you can do in radio, for me at least. I mean,
right.
It doesn't get cooler than that. So
tell me, when you were getting ready for Amp in LA, before you actually started to produce anything, how much time did you put into kind of thinking things out and kind of, you know, how many people were involved in thinking things out? What was the preparation like?
Well, I mean, you know, it was definitely something I was thinking about for my whole life. I mean, you know, launching a CHR in LA is like,
yeah,
to me at least, that's like one of the coolest things you could ever do.
I can absolutely agree. As a kid who grew up listening to Kiss all his life, it would definitely be a dream. So, so that's definitely
solid. Well, you know, Amp, I mean, we started, we had the opportunity to put Amp on a HD2 channel. So we had Jack's HD2 channel and, you know, it was like we decided to do a young CHR for it. And that was like launching a new radio station, you know, just doing that on its own.
And was that kind of like a test drive, or at least is that what it felt like?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, I think everybody, you know, was like, wouldn't this be cool if this actually came on a real signal, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that was probably in the back of everybody's head. But, I mean, it was just, you know, but it was just fun in general just to be able to do a top 40 station and actually, you know, hear it somewhat on the air, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Such a hard question.
Let me kind of go in pieces then.
Okay.
So, how much of your voice is on the station? I don't know.
Say it's like 25%.
Okay. Maybe? What other 25? Voices are you using?
We
on
use
Amp?
Another guy called, his name's called, we have another guy, Motion Melvin. And, basically when we were starting the station, you know, I just went out and looked at every kind of different voice there is. A couple other people at the station did too. And, you know, I was just, Kevin was in my studio one day and we were listening to, I had a bunch of people flagged and Motion was one of them. Mm-hmm. We had him audition along with a bunch of other people. And, you know, he came out as a great voice for the station. He's never done radio before.
So what about a female voice on the station?
You know, I've been using this this girl Sasha in our promo department.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, she's just always has had a really distinct voice, and I needed a female voice, and I started using her, and then it kind of clicked, and I've been using her just, you know, mostly as an accent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's been really good, you know.
And what about jingles? What was your guys' philosophy on a jingle package for the station?
We never ever really considered a jingle package.
No, that's
a radio station.
Okay, yeah. That's a good answer. So basically you decided you're not going to be that kind of standard, what everyone always knew a CHR to be. The logo and all that. Okay.
No, I mean, I don't know if that was, you know, it was never like put on paper that way. It was just, I think, you know, it was, you know, we started out as just creating a radio station, a cool radio station, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, I don't ever even remember talking about jingles, so.
Yeah, well, no, it just seems you run into programmers in this business kind of 50, well, no, not 50-50, but you're either for them or against them. It doesn't mm-hmm. seem like there's a lot of people that are like, eh, I could use a jingle or not, you know, whatever. It's really a big, you know, there's a big line drawn in the sand between jingle people and non-jingle people,
oh, really?
I think. Yeah, that's what I've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, the only station that we've had jingles on that I've worked at that's had jingles was Cube. Mm-hmm. And the guy that I learned production from owns Real World, so you know.
Okay.
But yeah. I've never got we've never got jingles anywhere else.
As far as there was something else I was gonna ask you about the sort of launch of AMP. When you guys launched it, I guess what I'm trying to kind of visualize, or at least help people visualize, is it's a pretty major endeavor. You have the biggest, if not one of the top three, you know, biggest CHRs you're deciding to try and compete with. How many different changes, you know, how much work was it from kind of start to where I don't know how long it was, but when you finally felt like you guys were comfortable with what you had on the air?
I just don't really know how to answer the question, to be honest. It's all like a blur to me, you know? Like,
okay.
Yeah. I get that question a lot, like how much production's on the air or this. And I just, you know, we have so many different types of production on the air. It's just like, it's hard to really know. But I mean, yeah, we definitely, you know, went back and forth with a lot of different styles, you know? Just like any station. I mean, you know, you have to on any, mm-hmm. you know, I think if you put on a station and didn't do that, it wouldn't be a very good station, you know? I mean, you gotta try different, have a bunch of different ideas out there.
Yeah, definitely some growth needing to be done, I suppose.
Try different things. I mean, if you just had one way of doing it, you know, and playing it. I mean, you know, we played a lot of different samples for a lot of different people of different stuff, you know?
How many different people within, like, the company were there that you had to kind of, I don't know, run stuff by? Or, you know, how many cooks were in the kitchen? Maybe it'd be a question.
You know, I don't. Really, no. I mean, mostly everything I did would go through Kevin.
I've been in situations where, I mean, in fact, very, very recently, without going into my details, mm-hmm. but where I felt like the CEO and five different GM and VPs had their hands in what I was doing. So it was a less than easy situation. It was a pretty stressful situation. Mm-hmm. Compare your situation to that. Did you feel pretty good about it the whole way, or was it kind of stressful? And you know,
I would say, you know, it was stressful in a good way, you know.
Okay.
I wouldn't call it, you know, I enjoy that kind of stress. So, it was all just really exciting, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was just really living in the moment, you know. I remember I actually like went home for Christmas, even though I'm Jewish. Went home for like a day.
So you went home for Hanukkah?
Yeah. I you know, cut my trip short, and you know, I thought that was all really exciting, and you know, I mean, there was nothing but positive, and mm-hmm. you know, launching the station. You know, I've been a part of launches like you're talking about in other markets, and this was not that. This was just like, you know, really, you know, it was really fun. You know, yeah. I don't know, maybe I was. blocked out from any kind of politics like that. I don't know.
You also just might have the right attitude.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I try not to let this stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, we're just doing radio. You know, we're not saving lives, no. Really. And I try not to let it bother me.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a pretty good way to look at it. And absolutely. Plus, you know, we get to like play with toys and audio and make noises for a living. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think that that's one of the cool things about our job is, you know, production people were really shielded from a lot of the stuff that program directors and music directors and salespeople have to mm-hmm. encounter. I mean, really, our job is to focus on the sound of the radio station, and you know, keeping the station on the air and keeping things, you know, moving and, you know, taking the mandate and really taking off with it, you know? And that's when you're doing your job, you know, when you're, you know, at least in my position, it's like, you know, you don't have to be on your email all the time, you know, you just have to create mm-hmm. great radio station and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So just a couple more things on AMP. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely want to move on to a bunch of other things, okay. But how long has it been on the air now?
It's been a year and a half.
Okay. I thought it was well over a year. In that time, because I had a PPM question come in, mm-hmm. but in your kind of environment and with your boss, John, mm-hmm. How much does he want you to, or how much do you focus on the actual numbers of the station?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that we're, you know, I mean, I know what you mean. Like, I've worked at other stations where it's like, you know, I'm sure with a people meter, it's, you know, the weekly ratings coming out, it just can probably just, you know, you probably get an email every week of the numbers, you know, and, you know, yeah. I mean, every time there's a book that comes out, you always hear what our numbers are and, you know.
Now, real quick, I just wanted to touch on Now in New York. You had a hand in the launch of that as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. Dom Theodore called me and asked me if I could help out with some stuff. And of course, I was like, yeah, absolutely. And yeah.
So on Now, did you work on that after you had already launched AMP?
Yeah. I mean, I think AMP was on the air for about 3 weeks. And then it was, you know, I mean, I knew about it right when we launched AMP that was coming. There was two or three other people that were producing it too, so I was just one of them that was producing.
Yeah, that's cool.
So yeah, like I did like the legal ID and you know 50-60 sweepers for it, music promos, the web video, I remember I did that. Yeah, and we just, you know, we took a lot of the same type of elements that we launched AMP with and applied it to New York. But, you know, again, New York's a different market, you know. It wasn't the same. It's not the exact same radio station at all. I think if you listen to the two stations, especially now, you know, mm-hmm. we do our own things, you know, because you have to program a station to that market, you know, especially in big markets like LA and New York, you know.